presented by Bee Matters, with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding does matter.
Hey everyone, welcome to Feeding Does Matter. I am Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters. It's always special when we get to talk to Feeding Matters staff members. So I'm thrilled to be able to share our Senior Director of Community Engagement today, Jen Lambert. Jen, how are you doing?
Hey Jacqueline, I'm good. I'm doing really good. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, no problem. So many people know many of the employees at Feeding Matters because we've got so many passionate people that work with us all the time. And you are one of the key people that everybody is working with because you do so much in community engagement and our volunteer support and our Feeding Alliance and community councils. But some people don't know that Feeding Matters is kind of a small team. So we do a lot, but we're a small team. So that's kind of why you see Jen all over the place sometimes. But we thought it would be good to bring Jen on today just to talk through our upcoming Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change watch parties. But we'll get into that in a little bit because, Jen, first I want to start with, you've been with Feeding Matters for several years now. Maybe just share a little bit about kind of what interested you about Feeding Matters and what you've been learning in the several years you've been with us.
Yeah. So this is my ninth year with Feeding Matters, and I often can't believe it. It feels like it goes by so fast. And when I introduce myself to those in the community and that we work with out there, I often say I've worn many different hats within the organization. And so I have always worked in the nonprofit sector. Before this, I worked for a Head Start program and I worked with children and families. And that's always been something that's been very near and dear to my heart. And then I went to school in Ohio for dietetics, but decided, you know, that wasn't exactly the route I wanted to take post-college. But, you know, I still wanted something to meet that need. And so, like I said, I worked, Head Start did a lot with their health and nutrition, but then I always had heard about Feeding Matters. And, you know, you all were just kind of, I don't know, maybe like 5-10 years in when I was
not long in at that point.
No. And, you know, what we even used, or maybe I don't know if I used it, you know, to its full capacity. But I was looking at the Feeding Matters website and I came across the infant and child feeding questionnaire. And I remember just thinking that was so cool. And then I had an external meeting where I got to meet some of the team members on Feeding Matters. And so I always knew about you all. And then when the opportunity came up to work for Feeding Matters, I jumped on it. I was just at a point where I wanted to do something a little bit different. We were starting a family and I was so glad I made that jump because it's just the most wonderful internal team, the most caring and dedicated external team, you know. It's and I often say we can't do this work without our community. And it is, I 100% mean that because we are a small but mighty team and we do a lot, but our community, I'm always in awe of what everybody takes on.
Completely. Our community is just truly breathtaking in terms of how much they're able to do. Like, in awe is a great description of it. So inspiring, so passionate, so smart, so collaborative, so creative, and just hardworking.
On and on. I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do. I feel every day I'm inspired by our community. And I love that. And so I love that I'm able to, you know, when I first started, I did a lot more with our conference, which is also near and dear to my heart. But over the last few years, I've been able to dive in deeper with our Feeding Alliance and our community councils. And it just really fills my cup. And I think other people that are involved with Feeding Matters and in the councils and the alliance, it fills their cup too.
Yeah. And I've always heard how much people love working with you. So I know that internally we're very grateful and we have our own little internal mutual admiration society, but I know that that extends to the community as well.
Everyone means a lot. I will say that.
Good. Well, we wanted to talk today about our upcoming Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change Watch parties that our community councils are doing. But to start, I know we've talked a little bit about our community councils before on this podcast, as we had the founder of the Ohio Community Council on, Emily Adams, who also serves on the board of directors of Feeding Matters. And then we also had the chair of the California Community Council on, Cece. And so, you know, they are community councils that were kind of the founding and the first pioneers of really leading this effort to do this grassroots outreach and awareness building. And since then, you've had so many more community councils, you know, start up and organize and really kind of kill it at what they're trying to do. So maybe share a little bit, Jen, about like what a community council is in kind of simple terms, or how they're made up, or how they're encouraged to join. Just kind of an overview maybe for everybody who might hear community council and want to learn more.
Yeah, I think really at like the basic level, our community councils are groups of individuals who care about feeding development, care about feeding disorders and differences, and really want a space to be able to come together locally to do all the things that you had talked about, raise awareness, educate others, support others, either providers or families. And so these groups are comprised of families, healthcare professionals, community members. We always say you don't need to be an expert, you know, as long as you care about the work that we're all doing and it's of interest to you, we say come join us. And so this has just really allowed it to grow organically. And like you said, we started with a group of two councils, California and Ohio, and now we're up to eight with, I think, three other states and countries interested in starting their own. And so this has just been so exciting to see the growth that's happened and the interest and how these community council chairs and members have really been so dedicated and have grown the councils themselves.
No, they are amazing and passionate volunteers that are like doing amazing things at the local level. And that's what's so really interesting about how we kind of collaborate together with those groups of volunteers who have decided to kind of upstart a community council is, you know, we're very limited in terms of what we're able to do at Feeding Matters, kind of the system change pieces, the awareness pieces, some of the national, international pieces. But we continue to have a long laundry list of things that need to get done, or things that are just kind of on the problem list, or even like things that are need to be handled at a local level. And these community councils are the answer, because not only do they live in that community and they know what the problems are, but they're able to help be part of that solution.
I agree, Jacqueline. And I think it really came to light. I have an example when we had conference last year. Activity where during symposium, everybody wrote on a sticky note, you know, basically, what would you like to see in the next few years from each one of the pillars? And we had this beautiful visual of how many, you know, over 300 different sticky notes on this board. But I think that visual was eye-opening for people of like, hey, wait, we want to do all of this. We know Feeding Matters can't do it all, to what you just said, and said, you know what? There is so much power in our local communities. And so not that people weren't talking about it before, but I feel like that visual brought things to life. And I will say that's when we started to see a lot of interest in starting community councils after conference. That's where we brought on six new councils. And so the work they're doing is so unique to their region and to their state, but it's also at the same time helping us move our mission forward, which is exciting.
Yeah. And we're able to kind of connect and share stories and collaborate, for what works better for where and who's doing it and what that means.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. You know, every council kind of has like their unique needs. And so we have some councils that really have this focus on wanting to network with others because they're very spread out in their state. And so might have a city that has an institution that many families are able to go to, and you have a lot of providers that are employed by there. But then 4 hours away, you have somewhere that has virtually no resources. Yeah. Services. And so just being able to bring them together, that's huge for these councils. So yes, I mean, that's just one example. Some say our focus is really on family support and how do we build that up even within our community while also leveraging Feeding Matters resources, right? Because it's not recreating the wheel, but sometimes it's like, hey, we do need maybe a unique spin on this. Ooh. Or something that's a little more, you know, detailed than what they have to meet the needs of our community.
For sure. And each community council, like you're saying, is really kind of customizable based on what the community needs. What's an example that you can share of a community council that's really had a goal and made an impact or has a special project, just to give others an idea?
Sure. Well, there's a few. It's hard to pick just one, but one that came up recently was that one of our community councils, is actually Ohio, had said, we have a goal of sharing more at Grand Rounds. And so they wanted to do more of that work. Well, one of our members said, you know what? I presented at Grand Rounds. And after that presentation, they said, we want you at every single one of our Grand Rounds presenting on feeding disorders differences. What's the latest research? What's going on with Feeding Matters? And I just thought that was so cool. Another example is just getting in front of the American Academy of Pediatrics in certain states. We've had now two states that have represented their state at the AAP level and done a booth. And we're looking at even future opportunities for presenting. And so, the list, like I said, there's so much that they are all accomplishing and doing out there. And sometimes I'm like, oh, it's so hard to keep track because there is so much that.
Yeah, they're doing amazing things. How can you keep track of it all? And that's the thing, because I know that, if you're out there and you're listening and you've been part of Feeding Matters for a while, but you're not part of the community council, I think you're doing some of these things anyway.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, we just hope to bring a little bit of structure to it to really kind of share successes across state lines. Anything that you've seen in terms of, for someone who feels like, how can I make a difference, even though I'm just like one person, when I'm, you know, maybe like a therapist that's out there that's trying to get to knock on pediatricians' doors, but it just feels like it's me. What does that look like in terms of making a difference or building a community around that person?
That is such a good question, because often when people are coming to us, they're like, I felt like I was on an island. I really felt like I was the only one in this, and that I was the only one that felt so passionately about this. And then they meet others, they're like, my goodness, there are so much of us out there. I think what I would say is that, yes, you're one person, but what does one turn into? Two. And three and four. And then after you, before you know it, you are a group of individuals with kind of this same passion for wanting to raise awareness and do this outreach and raise, and educate others. And you're a force to be reckoned with. So I would say just keep going. Know that there is that you are absolutely not alone in this. And there are others that are fighting this same battle, and that, they want to be a part of something greater with you.
Yeah, so, so true. We have had a lot of conversations internally about wanting and needing community right now, especially with how everything is feeling right now and how anxious everybody is feeling about everything going on. And so it kind of came up a little bit at Feeding Alliance Forum last week about the need for community and being able to kind of share and lean on each other. And I know we've done that internally a lot at Feeding Matters. But the community councils do that together as well, and they're able to kind of lean on each other. And I know one thing that you're interested in cultivating is really being able to make space for more community building, either at the local level, the digital space, or even the national, international level. But that's kind of what comes up for this event. So maybe tell us a little bit about what is different this year about the Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change and why it's kind of community driven.
Right. I think I keep going back to conference because it was our last in-person event or big in-person event. And I think so much, it was electric in a lot of ways, where so much happened and spearheaded a lot. And, people were saying we love being in person, and we know realistically doing a conference every year may not work, but what is a way where we can, get local, like we're talking about at this conference, meet with other like-minded individuals, have these discussions at a deeper level. And that's where these watch parties really were born. And so what's really different about this year, and which is very exciting, is that for our Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change, which is on the Wednesday, February 25th, we will be doing in our community council states, and I'll talk about it in a minute, even if you're not part of that, how you can get involved. But in those states, we are doing a watch party where we would watch the virtual educational programming of Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change. And then after that, we have time to have that deeper discussion about what is, you know, happening related to what you just watched in your own community and what are kind of those next steps. And we know it is only a 1 hour discussion, so it's the start of a discussion, but we think it's really important that this will be happening with those councils. Like I said, it'll be unique to their community. And then just really looking forward to seeing what is going to come out of all of these discussions. And so this is, like I said, this is the first time we're doing something like this. But I mean, all of the councils are so excited. We've just kind of provided that like structure behind it, but they've been really able to take it, run with it, provide the venues, determine who the facilitators are, make sure that what they are talking about really aligns with the Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change and this Beyond the Growth Chart initiative. And so, it's been really nice to be a part of this and to know that this will only grow as the years go on.
Yeah. It's really cool. And it's something that we're trying that's new. And I think that it's been really well received. Like you said, our community councils have been amazing in how they've been planning this. So there's some really cool events that everybody's doing in their own state around their community council. And so everyone will gather to watch the Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change Part 1, which is that virtual pre-conference event that everybody's quite used to in terms of, you know, parent-provider relationship, really leaning on this year, especially Beyond the Growth Chart and feeding development and kind of that being the focus of that event. But then that part two being that in-person deep dive, let's bring problems, let's get solutions, let's figure out what we need to do in our community. And then how does that link up to what Feeding Matters can do at a national and international level to support you locally?
And Jacqueline, I didn't mention, but each council's discussion will be facilitated by a provider and a family member. Some have two family members.
Yeah.
Which again, like we've started doing that with some of like our committees and the planning of the educational program, but to be able to have that same sort of format for these watch parties. Again, it was a wonderful idea that many of our councils brought up and we've been able to move on.
Love that. That's so amazing. Yeah.
I know.
What you said a little bit about if you're okay. So I've got a few questions on kind of behalf of the listener. So if I'm someone who is in a community council state, how do I get to participate even if I've never been a part of the community council situation happening in my state?
Yes, great question. We welcome anyone to join these watch parties and discussions. We do have a webpage that has all of the information listed on there. So if you visit the webpage, it will have all the councils that are hosting a watch party and discussion and the location. And then if you are interested in signing up, again, you do not need to be a member of that community council. If you're just curious and want to go and really just listen in, that's great. You can sign up for it. It's $25 to attend the watch party and the discussion, and there will be CEUs offered for that. Another option is if you have signed up for conference already, if you said, you know, I am doing the 3-day conference, you automatically get access to the watch party and discussion if you're in one of those community council states. Now, if there is someone that's like, oh, I want to do this, but my state does not have this, this is something that if you are interested in hosting a watch party and discussion, reach out to me, please. We want to have, you know, our goal would be one day to have every state do this sort of thing. And so please reach out and we can talk about coordinating something like that in your state.
And that would be for the watch party, but also if you're interested in starting a community council yourself too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was going to say, we also have a webpage about community councils. And so it lists out all of our community councils. What we're working on right now is for each council to actually have their own page. So it would have information about the members. It would have information about the goals that they're working on, accomplishments that have happened over the years, that sort of thing. And any upcoming events would be on those individual pages. But on the community council webpage as a whole, you can find more information. There's a link to sign up. And then there's a link to also sign up if you're interested in starting one.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so thankful to you, Jen, and then to our community council amazing volunteers who are making it happen in their area.
Thank you to them. Huge.
Mm-hmm. Just incredible.
I'm so glad that I could come on today and talk a little bit and, you know, share about the incredible work they're all doing.
Yeah, they're really doing amazing work. Is there anything I didn't ask that you wanted to share about community councils, about conference, Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change watch parties?
I think maybe just what I hope people would walk away feeling after these. And I think this is anything that we host or facilitate. I want them to walk away feeling empowered. Yeah. I want them to walk away feeling like, okay, you know, I can put some of this into action, or, hey, I feel a little less alone in all of this. And there is a community and there are people around me lifting me up, even if they're not located in my same state or country or whatever it may be. And so that is just, yes, that's my hope for after this conference and after this, these watch parties and discussions.
That's so true. And for those of you listening, if you aren't able to join a community council or a watch party, you hopefully will still feel that at conference too. And we encourage you to come to the live conference. That's the following Thursday and Friday, the 26th and 27th of February. But the conference is also available on demand for the following 2 months. And it's going to have a lot of that digital community building that we try to do as well, besides what we're trying to do here, which is more in person on the ground community building. So really encourage you to reach out. Please know Jen is here if you do have any of that community engagement style questions. She's really focused on what's outreach for this effort look like and how can we make sure that we're advancing the system in early childhood around feeding development, around feeding disorders and differences, and really kind of supporting all of our families, children, adults, and professionals. So thank you all so much for listening. Thanks, Jen, for all you do to build community at Feeding Matters. Really, really so grateful that you found us 9 years ago and are still with us today.
Aw, thank you.
And yeah, everybody have a good week and we'll see you next week.
Thanks Jen.
Bye. The Feeding Matters International Pediatric Feeding Disorder Conference explores the theme, Feeding Development, where systems, skills, and stories connect. This entirely virtual conference includes over 30 hours of continuing education with keynote sessions from Emory Center for Ethics Professor John Leisiker and from the family nutritionist Alexandra Turnbull. Attend live virtually February 25th through the 27th and view on demand March 9th through April 30th. Visit feedingmatters.org/conference to learn more.